We are back on the Bengals Beat podcast, the second one of the week. We'll have these all throughout training camp. I'm Lindsay Patterson alongside Cincinnati Inquirer beat writer Tyler Dragon, our guy Charlie Goldsmith. How you guys doing?
I can't wait till next week when we can actually watch and witness training camp with our own eyes instead of all these Zoom press conferences and word of mouth from the team.
We have made it to helmets. We are going to be making it to pads soon. So we're making progress. Football season's what, a month? Not bad. Not bad by me.
Not bad at all. Week three next week. Again, like Tyler mentioned, we will have the Inquirer crew there. Make sure you're following along. Plenty on E&Q Sports, E&Q Bengals. But in the last couple of days, you guys, unfortunately, the Bengals took a hit in the secondary, the Trey Waynes injury. Tyler, when you look at that, obviously the Bengals were really active in the offseason. What does that mean for the club, and when can we really expect him back?
Yeah, he suffered a pectoral injury at the beginning of training camp. Zach Taylor called it an unfortunate accident. He could be out 2 months. That's the prognosis right now. It is an unfortunate situation, just like Zach Taylor said, because the Bengals paid him a lot of money to start alongside of William Jackson III at that cornerback position. So with him out, I have my eyes on Darius Phillips. The team really likes him. He led the team in interceptions last season. He's a playmaker, a ball hawk, and he barely played last year. He was not in for that many snaps, but he made the most of his opportunity when he was on the field. So I expect him to start in Trey Waynes' place, but also look out for LaShawn Sims, you know, Winston Rose, and Tony Brown to kind of step up, since, you know, they have an opportunity to, you know, raise some eyebrows and move up in the depth chart. So I have my eyes on those players, but Darius Phillips moves up, in my opinion, to number one in the depth chart while Trey Waynes is out.
It's under the radar that Waynes was one of the biggest offseason splurges in Bengals history. We forget that because they got Burrow and Higgins and Reader and Jonah Williams is coming back. But Trey Waynes is the sixth highest paid corner in the NFL. And he's the fifth highest paid Bengals player. 5% of the Bengals salary cap is Trey Waynes. Because of the investment the Bengals made in him, and because they don't have as much depth at defensive back as they do defensive line and a wide receiver, this injury really is impactful as losing a Tyler Boyd or a Carlos Dunlap because of, one, what Waynes gets paid, and two, because they don't have multiple proven NFL starters at that position. There are some interesting options at cornerback. I'm sure we'll continue to discuss those. And now the Bengals have a few weeks to determine which one is the best to play alongside William Jackson.
Absolutely. And It feels like more than that. I just, the amount of love that I've been given by the coaches, man. Gino actually reached out to me and said, you know, I really look forward to us potentially playing next to each other. So I really, really have had some good meetings with Coach Eason over Zoom, learning the playbook and everything. And I'm just really looking forward to this opportunity. Really, I feel refreshed, man. I feel so happy. I'm just so thankful. You know, I'm just almost overwhelmed, really, you know, for this opportunity. A new conference or a new conference, bunch of different teams, you know what I'm saying? I'm just looking forward to it.
One of their strongest positions, I think, when you look at it, how active they were in free agency, you add a guy like DJ Reader. You have a future Hall of Famer in Geno Atkins, Carlos Dunlap out there, and just the guys in the defensive room. When I look at that defensive line, they go and add depth just in the last 24 hours. They make it official with defensive tackle Mike Daniels. A great depth piece. But what do you expect to – how the Bengals plan to use him, Tyler?
Yeah, I have him as the top backup at that defensive tackle position. He can play both the one technique and the three technique as a defensive tackle. So, basically, he can sub in for Geno Atkins or DJ Reader at times. You know, he's a former Pro Bowler, 2017. So he's not far removed from the best year of his football life. He says he's feeling 100% off of the recent injuries that he's had. He's had an arm injury and he's had foot problems. So now that he is feeling back healthy, I expect him to be a contributor up front for the Bengals. He's, you know, a pretty good player. He had his best career with the Packers, but he's in his early 30s, so he has some football still left in him, and especially in a reserve role like the Bengals expect him to be. So he can come in, spell Geno Atkins or spell DJ Reader, and wreak havoc in opposing team's backfield. So I think it's a good signing. And in my opinion, I mean, he's a more proven player than Josh Tupou. And so he's an upgrade. And I expect him to make some noise when he gets his opportunity in the regular season.
Mike Daniels is someone who was really honest yesterday. He modeled his game a lot after Geno Atkins. And when you can't have Geno Atkins on the field, someone who can be someone who resembles Geno Atkins is probably one of the best possible solutions you can have for that problem. As you mentioned, Tyler, Daniels was great in 2018. In 2019, after he got cut, he was very highly sought after. This offseason, not as much, but he really feels wanted and needed by the Cincinnati Bengals. Geno Atkins reached out to him personally. Taylor recruited him to get him here to sign in Cincinnati. And what's for sure is the Bengals do need him, because Tupou is completely an unproven player, and the rest of the Bengals' options at that position are players who were undrafted free agents this year, last year, and have never really done much in the NFL. Daniels is here because the Bengals really need him, and that's probably why he signed.
Charlie, you mentioned recruiting, and that is actually one thing I've heard from some of these free agents, some of the draft picks, and just the guys in the locker room alone. Carlos Dunlap told me that after the season finale last year, what Zach Taylor is doing behind the scenes. And you guys, we've had plenty of Zooms right now with Zach Taylor once a week for the last couple weeks. Have you guys been impressed with Zach Taylor and just hearing from other players talk and praise what Taylor's trying to do behind the scenes?
Well, that has been happening since last season. And even though they had an abysmal year and had loss after loss after loss, players still stuck behind Zach Taylor and were rallying with him, and they were still fighting. And, you know, that's why the Bengals, eight of their games, they only lost by one score, because even though they were losing all those times, they were performing and competing because they believe in the young head coach that Zach Taylor is. They believe in his philosophy. They believe what he's teaching them. And, you know, his personality really brings out the best in people. He knows how to rally the troops, and he resonates with the team. He's a former quarterback, as we all know. So players respect him, even though he's still sort of unproven in the NFL. But, you know, he has that type of personality, infectious personality, to make players want to play for him and play hard for him. And even in the midst of all the losing last year, I heard so many times in the locker room, we're still fighting. You know, we still believe in what Zach is preaching, and, you know, we're going to turn this thing around. And that's a testament to Zach Taylor. So this year has not surprised me at all thus far, because it's just a continuation from the season last year. In year two, he has, you know, a lot of new faces in that locker room, but we all know there's a whole lot of returning players too, and those players are preaching that message to the rookies and the undrafted players and the free agents, and they are all gelling together, and they believe that this team is on the up and up.
Imagine for a second if Zach Taylor wasn't this believed in by Bengals players, but also by incoming free agents. Let's go even position by position. In the defensive backfield, if Trey Waynes and Mackenzie Alexander didn't believe in Zach Taylor, I'm sure they could have found big roles for comparable money at different spots. Same with Josh Bynes at linebacker. Same with DJ Reader on the defensive line. On the offensive line, Xavier Suofilo. And then at running back and wide receiver, maybe, you know, without the belief in Zach Taylor, A.J. Green's not as excited to be at training camp. Maybe Joe Mixon's not as excited to be at training camp this season. The reason that the Bengals are optimistic around this roster, about this roster, is because the players around Zach Taylor believed enough to be to want to be a part of this. And looking at any part of the roster for even a second shows that there have been real positive takeaways.
Oh, man, it's like stealing. You know, I had talked to my boy Hobbs the other day. It's like at the end of the day, you can't double both of us. You got to pick one, and whichever one is double at the time, we count on each other to win our one-on-one matchups. And we always believed that since that 2018 year when our stats was on pace for 12 to 1300 each of us, you know. So just having a guy like him on the team threatens the defense and just puts more pressure and put them in binds and on certain downs.
That's what Tyler Boyd just said about his relationship and just having AJ Green back out there on the field. It's almost like they're stealing. When you look at a guy like John Rodgers, and it's to be determined on when he does get back out there on the field. He's on the reserve COVID list, unfortunately, dealing with his son who tested positive earlier. And we're thinking about John Ross, and we don't know the timetable when he's going to be back. I know Tyler Boyd said today it seems like could be a minor injury with T. Higgins. He's kind of moving a little slow right now, but when he's back out there, Tyler Boyd will really take that leadership role like he's done with past receivers. I actually talked to Pro Football Focus's Austin Gale about that, and he said Tyler Boyd and Joe Burrow are a match made in heaven. What Tyler Boyd has been able to do and step up when AJ Green has been hurt is unbelievable, and he almost had a quiet season last year, and he talked about that in his press conference earlier. If you have a healthy Tyler Boyd, healthy AJ Green, what does that do for the offense?
Tyler Boyd is coming off back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons. And a healthy AJ Green, we all know, is one of the best wide receivers in the National Football League. The Bengals really missed him last year on the field because in Zach Taylor's 11 personnel offense, you need a true number one possession type receiver. And that's what they were missing without AJ Green on the field last year. And truly, it was just really Tyler Boyd. He was the only consistent receiver that they had because one, John Ross was, you know, battling injuries, and Auden Tate, you know, it was too big of a leap for him last year for him to really kind of emerge. So they desperately missed A.J. Green. And with him on the field, we've all heard him at the beginning portion of training camp right now, how excited the team is, how good the coaches feel to have A.J. Green back. Because Zach Taylor's envision of this offense, how he envisions it, is A.J. Green out there, out wide, as the X receiver, and Tyler Boyd in the slot, and, you know, perhaps – John Ross as the other receiver, that deep threat. And that's, you know, in his mind, how that 11 personnel, those three wide receiver sets look like. But without that number one threat, and then hopefully John Ross gets back, you know, praying for his son with coronavirus. If he gets back, then, you know, what he envisioned his offense to be, it will be right there for him. And then that's the true test for Zach Taylor to see, okay, you know, the Bengals battled injuries last year, left tackle was a fiasco, AJ Green out. Now this is your opportunity to prove that this 11 personnel offensive attack can be successful with this Bengals team.
We've asked about how AJ Green has looked so far in training camp, and whether it's Zach Taylor or Brian Callahan, They both just smiled and said, man, it's just good to have him back out there again. They had missed having someone that consistent and that elite at that position. One of my favorite stats from last year is how Tyler Boyd would have been one of the best receivers in all of football if Andy Dalton and Ryan Finley were throwing him accurate passes. That doubles as well for A.J. Green. A.J. Green and Tyler Boyd have sparingly played together when they've both been as established as they were. And when you talk just across football with people about the strengths of the Cincinnati Bengals offense, it's the relationship between Burrow and those two receivers that make people feel like long-term, this could be one of the better offenses in the National Football League.
That was our quick look around camp. Tyler and I have a preview coming up on Cincinnati.com. We'll have those weekly. And again, the Enquirer Media will be at training camp starting on Monday. Guys, what else is on Cincinnati.com?
Well, I have a piece on Tyler Boyd that's coming up pretty soon. And also, since Sunday is contact integration day, that means players will be in full pads. I will have a preview of what that looks like on Sunday coming up.
I have a story up today on Von Bell and the advice he'll give Joe Burrow. And then look out for a feature on DJ Reader on a Sunday.
We mentioned injuries earlier, and I actually talked to an injury expert for the NFL, Will Carroll. You're going to want to check that out. We talked Trey Waynes, AJ Green, and Jonah Williams bouncing back. So make sure you check that out on the back half, BBP Extra. Thank you for joining for the Bengals Beat Podcast. We're back on Cincinnati.com as the Bengals are in week two of training camp. Unfortunately, the Bengals had some injury news this week when you look at the secondary, so I had to bring in one of the experts, Will Carroll, the injury expert. How you doing, Will?
I'm doing great, and it's great to see football back in at least some form, and it's great to see the Cincinnati Bengals back in a couple tough years.
It has been a couple tough years, and as you mentioned, football is currently back right now. Week two of training camp, they're going to start to pick up over the next few days. Are you optimistic? Are we going to see a full regular season?
Yeah, I think so. And there's a couple reasons I'm optimistic. First off, they're taking it seriously. You know, we've seen things like New Orleans. They're kind of doing a pseudo bubble with a hotel across the street down in Frisco, Texas. The Dallas Cowboys have that Omni attached to their training facility that makes it real nice and easy. Wouldn't be surprised to see more teams do something along these lines. But the fact is, if you just have some personal responsibility, if you take this seriously, basically, if you become a COVID monk, as so many of us have, it really works out. If you wear your mask, if you do the things you're told to do, just if you make some sacrifices for a little while, this does all work. What you can't do is, you know, what Zach Plesac and Mike Clevenger did up in Cleveland and go out. You can't break the bubble, as we've seen happen a couple times with both the MLS and with the NBA down there. So, yeah, the testing is one thing, but I think it's going to come down to personal responsibility. On the other hand, much like baseball, I think the NFL is just going – the only thing that's going to derail this is going to be a travel ban, because this is just that big a business for them. And for so many owners, including the Browns there, the Brown family there in Cincinnati, they don't really own a lot of other things. You know, here in Indianapolis – the Ursays owned, you know, the Colts and a yogurt shop, and they don't even own the yogurt shop anymore. So if the Colts aren't bringing in money, they're not really billionaires anymore. So I think football is that important. I think it's that important for our country. You know, even though the ratings haven't been what we thought they would be for the sports that have come back, the NFL is still the biggest show in town. And I think there's a hope and a real chance that they can do this right.
I think what's really surprising, the numbers came out yesterday, 0.81 have been positive. And that's pretty outstanding when you look at how many players are currently out there in training camp. Were you surprised with some of the numbers?
I was surprised it was a little bit lower, but I think that means they're getting the message out. Football has always been a top-down leadership sport. And we saw that if you watch Hard Knocks the other night, that, you know, it's always been about leadership. It's been about team leadership. It's been about responsibility to your teammates. And so I do think they've taken that seriously. And let's not forget, their money's on the line too. If football players don't take this seriously down to the last man, they're not going to get paid on their week-to-week basis. So I do think it's a very I was going to say positive sign, but that's not the right word. It's a good thing, Lindsay. It's a good thing.
All right, we'll get into the not-so-fun stuff, injuries. The Bengals were really active this offseason, and they looked at the secondary. They picked up a guy in Trey Waynes. There are reports right now that it's a pectoral injury. I know he's getting a second opinion. What's the timetable for a player to rebound back from that?
Yeah, what he has is a grade one, grade two pectoral strain. And a lot of people will think, you know, pectoral muscle, chest, bench press kind of muscle. And that's not really what these injuries are. And this has been a very common injury, especially over the last 5 to 6 years in the NFL. What happens is that where the pectoral attaches, if you just take your arm out, you'll feel that attachment up in the shoulder. And what happens with most of these is that their arm gets driven back. You can see where this would happen to a tackle. Probably the most famous case of this recently was J.J. Watt. He was running around. His arm got stuck out. And it was a tight end that caught him and basically just pulled it back until the point where the tendon snaps. And that's the weak point there, right in the shoulder. So with Trey, you don't normally see this with cornerbacks or defensive backs, even linebackers who aren't the edge rushers. because they're just not getting their arms in that position. There's not a guy pushing back on them. What he did was fall, evidently. The Bengals haven't qualified it, but that's really about the only other way this happened. He fell the wrong way, stretched that attachment muscle tendon junction there, and you just have to wait for that to heal up. There's not really a whole lot you can do, rest and treatment. So opening day, first game is going to be in doubt. There's a lot of things he can do. He's going to be able to stay in shape. He's going to be able to be in team meetings. So this doesn't make a big setback. It's just a question of availability for those first few weeks of the season. If this was 4 or 6 weeks, it wouldn't surprise me. And that's about the time.
Well, when we're dealing with a pandemic and the off-season workouts are virtual, and as I mentioned, with the Bengals being active, they delayed the physical a little bit. Could the lack of off-season work come into play with a pectoral injury?
No, not usually, because you have to assume these guys are doing their normal things. Most of these guys in the off-season aren't sitting around on the couch playing Fortnite. They're working out. They have facilities. They're down at APEC. They're down at Exos. They're at one of those big facilities. They're going back to their colleges, a lot of them, and because there's a comfort level there, and it's usually cheap. But most of these guys are doing things. Almost every one of the pectoral injuries we've seen in the NFL has been the result of trauma. You know, basically, the arm was put under too much stress and something had to give, and that is the weak point there. So I don't think this comes down to what we're seeing in other sports. What we're seeing is burst injuries where, with baseball players, you can take batting practice in a cage all day. It's not going to simulate that excitement of the lights and a big league pitcher in front of you. We've seen in soccer a bunch of hamstring strains, just because as much as you practice, you don't have that burst of energy. We've seen that in the MLS. We've seen that in Europe. So I think we're going to see the same sort of thing. I think we're going to see a lot of back injuries. I think we're going to see a lot of hamstring strains. Wouldn't surprise me to see a lot of core strains, because that's just not something you can do all the ab workouts all day. The odd positions that the game of football puts you in isn't really something you can simulate.
We'll go to the offensive side. As you know, when A.J. Green is out there, he's a difference maker for this offense. They're hoping to get a healthy A.J. Green because they do have a young wide receiver group. He's coming back from an ankle injury, didn't play at all in 2019. He told us a couple weeks ago he feels great. With other players who have dealt with ankle injuries, have you ever seen them bounce back in the next year?
Yeah, and this is a guy who – at this stage of his career is going to be adjusting. Normally we see these sort of physical freaks, the guys that are just that good coming out of college. I think Julio Jones, not the guys who are super route runners and not the guys who are just super physical. Think DK Metcalf or Terrell Owens, guys who can basically push defenders around. That's never been AJ Green's game. He's always been something of a studious guy. Not that he's not physically gifted. He absolutely is. But he can adjust his game. If he doesn't have all of his speed, he doesn't just have to run by people. He doesn't have to rely on timing with a quarterback, which you got to think that's going to be building over time. I think he's a smart all-around receiver, and that gives him the chance to do that. Now, with ankles, we know you can adjust to it. Look, is he going to be doing hard cuts off that ankle? I hope so. I hope he's fully healthy. But even so, he can adjust. You can round off those cuts. You can know which routes you can run. What I'm more intrigued about is whether we're going to see him out there each and every game, or each and every day. Sure, he's going to be there for the games. But is he going to be able to practice? Is he going to need extra recovery and treatment time before he comes back out on the practice field? Because with a new quarterback in Joe Burrow, I just think there's so much work that has to be done, to build that timing, to build that trust, to have that unconscious knowledge of where somebody's going to be, that just amazes us when we see it on Sundays. And if he's not able to practice on a regular basis, if he's not recovering well, I do think that's where we're going to see the real issue.
A lot of talk about this offensive line. They're hoping they got their guy in Jonah Williams. He had a shoulder injury. He, too, didn't play all of last season. He really spent this offseason working out. He rehabbed the whole 2019 season coming back from the shoulder injury. He really reshaped himself with his trainer. Do you see that a lot with guys who are coming back from an injury, just kind of change their physique a little bit?
Yeah, because a lot of guys, especially pros, guys who have been through their careers or guys who are kind of entering that middle phase of their career where maybe they're starting to see a little bit decline, maybe they're feeling a little bit more, those are the guys that say, I've got to make a change. You know, in baseball, a lot of guys will learn a new pitch, change their delivery a little bit. Roger Clemens had his split-finger fastball that he developed. So, yeah, we do see guys do this. When you come back from a serious injury like a labrum reconstruction, absolutely. That's kind of that mental switch to say, I've got to do something different. I've got to get stronger. I've got to work hard. That's the thing is a lot of athletes, their answer to everything is, I just have to work harder. I have to lift heavier weights. I have to do more things. That's often counterproductive. Because yeah, J.J. Watt thought, I hurt my back. I better get in the weight room. No, that's absolutely the wrong thing to do. He just re-injured himself. That's not the case with Jonah. From everything we're seeing, he said, I've got to take a little weight off. I've got to make myself stronger. I've got to make myself more functional. And that, I think, is a bigger trend. If you've been watching any of Patrick Mahomes' workouts down at APEC, they're focused on function, even when it's strange function. What happens when you get turned around? What happens when you can't see something? You know, what if there was a 7-foot guy chasing after you? They've got this drill where they've got hands on sticks. It's pretty crazy to watch, but you see where it would work. For a lineman, it's the same thing. He's adjusting who he is and how he's going to do what he can do to be more functional and hopefully have a longer, more productive career.
Will Carroll, I hope you're not busy this season and the injuries look okay and we're all kick off regular season in less than a month for the NFL. Where can fans find you?
You can find me at Injury Expert on all the socials.
Make sure you're following them along. Again, we'll have them on all season long. If we're dealing with some injuries, great stuff. Thank you for joining.